I forgot. Okay. Hey, babes. You're listening to Love 101, Fun Drive Edition on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from UBC's Vancouver campus on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I'm your host, Isa, and I firmly believe that everyone has something to say about love. If you're new here, I created the show after taking a 100-series course on love in my first semester of college. I figure that makes me enough of an expert. Also, I'm 18 and I've never been in love. But anyway, so 2 weeks ago, the first episode of Love 101, titled The Magical World of Dating Apps, aired as a part of 24 Hours of Student Power. If you missed it, you can listen to it on CITR.ca. I thought I'd do a follow-up on the subject of online dating with my good friend Holly March. She met her partner on OkCupid 6 years ago, and they had the most functional relationship I've ever seen. I brought her in to get some of her wisdom on love. So, Holly, hi.
Hi, Isa.
Could you give me your credentials on love?
I have been in a committed relationship for the last 6 years.
God, I wish that were me. So, can you sum up your dating history in one sentence?
I mean, that's a pretty tough ask, but if I had to sum it up in one sentence, I would say frenetic with a lot of testing the waters before finding my rock.
Honestly, that's a mood, except I don't have a rock yet, but you know, we're getting there. So on to the Love Watch update segment. This week, I have one missed connection. I went out to see a movie with my friend and the guy who sat next to me was really cute. So if you are listening, please call in at 604-822 and 8646. Right. So before we get into the interview portion of the show, it is Fun Drive time, which is CITR's annual... got ahead of myself there, which is CITR's annual fundraising season. And that means I'm here to ask you for money. Do you like the sound of your own voice? Did you ever think I should be on air? Well, guess what? You can become the media. Plus, if you donate, you get amazing prizes, which I will be announcing later. Damn. So stay tuned. Yeah, you should support your community broadcaster. Programming at CITR is controlled by those who produce and listen to it. Anyone can become a member of CITR and have access to our studios, training, and airwaves, even if you're not a student. So support the station and ensure that CITR continues to be your voice and your frequency. Call 604-822-8648, UBC unit, or go to citr.ca/donate. If I can make it on air, you can too. Okay, so back to our conversation. What were you actively getting way too excited? Okay, so what were you doing at the time that you met Iz to meet people?
I was working full time and attending an online university. So I had very limited spare time, and I wound up turning to, as you had brought up before, online dating to find a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really common experience, just like me, myself, and I, and also like a lot of people I know. So you were looking for a serious relationship, right?
Yes.
And did you know like what specific criteria you had for an ideal partner at the time?
Well, I got together with my partner when I was 20 years old. So I had a lot of... I had a very young mentality when trying to figure out exactly who I wanted to date. I mean, I had a serious interest in, I don't know how to describe it, but I like my girls with short hair and practical outfits, and that has very much been my thing, and it's very nice that I wound up with a person who, prefers to identify that way, which is absolutely phenomenal. As far as the qualities I was looking in a partner, somebody with great communication skills, somebody who had shared at least some interests with me. I think I was developing a lot of my own ideas of who I wanted to be as an adult. Being 20 years old, I mean, when you hit that age, you feel very adult, but by the time you get to my age at 26, you start to realize, oh man, you're still such a kid.
I mean, I imagine.
With all the adult responsibilities, of course. I mean, you can't knock that debt. But yeah, just somebody who had a good sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Somebody who liked to engage in conversations. I was not looking for a long
long walks on the beach. In fact, I do not like that. I hate having sand between my toes. Quite frankly, I came from California, so that doesn't appeal to me.
Okay, so as my friend, you know that my quest for love has been quite challenging. How did you cope with getting discouraged in your pursuit of love?
Like I said, I was a bit all over the place with some of the people that I chose to be exclusive with. I wouldn't necessarily call it relationships, but I had lots of periods of time where I was very discouraged from trying to pursue a relationship. There was a lot of self-worth being brought into question. I had a lot of doubts about myself, and I think to get through it, I turned to art. Thinking back on it, wish I would have turned to like going to the gym, because boy, I could have like, you know, a swole ass six pack and all that good stuff by now. But sadly, that is not the case. So I turned to a lot of art, a lot of hanging out with friends. There's a lot of Minecraft, dare I say. A lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
Gamer girl.
Yeah. Gamer girl. Don't hate. But it was a lot of realizing that out of the 100 possible years that a human might expect it to live, 20 years wasn't so bad. And, well, 18, 19, 20, whatever years before I got together with my current partner, not so long. And that there is always time. There are billions of people in the world, and you're going to find someone that you connect with well, even if they, in my case, are in an entirely different country and from an entirely different socioeconomic background.
Right. So you meet is like you match, or whatever the word was for OkCupid, you connect, you chat, and she's hot. But how did you recognize?
She is. Thank you.
Yeah. How did you recognize that this person was someone worth investing time into? And how did you know that she was worth seriously pursuing?
Because she gave me everything that I didn't really realize that I wanted. That a lot of the people that I was previously exclusive with, it was usually about a month before I wound up figuring out that I needed to move on. And when I finally met her in person, actually, we spoke on Skype about a month before we actually wound up meeting up. And we talked on Skype for hours. So it was, we met up and we just had a lot to talk about. And even when we didn't have a solid topic, it was just, hey, how's your day? Wow. I know that you just went to the grocery store to go pick up like sushi and stuff because that's your favorite thing. But now I know it's your favorite thing, and I think it's the most amazing thing in the world. She gave me all of her time, and that is exactly how I knew that I wanted to be with this girl. She gave me all of her time.
Okay, so obviously, like, I know you guys, I know your relationship. Like I mentioned, you guys are the best relationship I've ever seen, I've ever witnessed. But also, you guys did meet online. And in my last episode, I really, you know, looked at the stigma associated with online dating. Have you felt that judgment when you tell people that you and your partner met online?
At times, yeah. A lot of people, when they ask us, they don't anticipate the answer that we do have, and at times are so detached from the idea of having a meaningful relationship stem from an online platform. I've never had anybody go, oh, wow, that's, you know, so weird. How could you do that? But there are often times where people go, well, that seems like dangerous. I mean, to me, no, not really. My parents work for an institution, so, you know, I've seen one too many episodes of NCSI. I think I know a thing or two about danger. But no, it was a lot of people going, well, don't you feel like you put yourself out there? Don't you feel like you put a lot of your personal information out onto someplace that may not be secure? And I would say that applies in real life, too. When you go to a bar, I feel it's not so different than putting yourself out there online. I mean, you present a certain way, whatever way you want to be interpreted as. So when I finally actually do get to talk to somebody and get to explain to them that point of view, they're a lot more willing to receive that information and go, oh, okay, that's actually not so bad now that you put it in that kind of perspective. It's not so weird. But it's usually a conversation starter for sure.
Have you noticed, like, a difference in, say, age groups and, like, their different reactions, or, like, a trend in, or, like, a change? Because you guys have been together for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I imagine you've had to explain over and over again. Do you get a change in or a difference in the reactions?
I mean, definitely as time has progressed and we've been able to say, yes, we've been together for 6 years. People usually, if they had any sort of hang up on the idea of online dating, they usually step off from there because they realize that we're a very established relationship. But definitely from older crowds, I would say half and half. Half of them go, oh, well, those are that, you know, that's kids these days. And that's just generally how kids meet their friends and other people. So they kind of get on board with the technology is pretty great. Kids know how to use it. I don't know how to use it. Not really my business. I'm not really going to think about it. And the other half go, well, that just seems like a really dangerous idea. Why would you do that? You're putting yourself out there, and rinse and repeat.
Yeah. All right. So we just discussed the work involved in trying to meet people, and I kind of want to pivot and chat about the work involved in the actual development and maintenance of a relationship in order to have love, I suppose, as well as talking about self-improvement. But before we do that, I think we should take an ad break.
Absolutely.
All right.
Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
Loneliness. FunDrive 2020, CITR's annual fundraiser extravaganza, is almost upon us. This year's theme is Crush on CITR. And since we deal primarily in sound around here, we started wondering, what does a crush sound like?
Okay, I think, oh my god, is that, yeah.
Ding.
Hey, do you want to make out?
It's like that filter on Instagram. It's like, da-da-da.
Well, as great as those answers were, we're kind of hoping this year a crush sounds a bit more like... Because your donations are what allow us to do, well, almost everything. Hosting free radio and podcast trainings, publishing the amazing Discorder magazine, producing local independent news, promoting and playing local music, and so much more. Our fund drive goal is to reach $30,000 by February 14th. You can show your crush on CITR right now by visiting citr.ca/donate.
And we are back. You are listening to Love 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. So reminder, friends, it's fun drive time. And now I'm going to tell you guys about all the prizes you can get for donating. For $30 or $5 a month, you get customized CITR and Discorder FunDrive candy hearts. For $60 or $10 a month, you get a Don't Talk to Me Until I've Had My Discorder mug, and also the candy hearts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right? For $101.9, so $101.9, or $15 a month, you get a toque. You get an on-air song dedication on Valentine's Day. There is a limit of 30, so you should probably get on that. And as well as the candy hearts and the mug. For $175 a month, or okay, for $175, or I'm just
$20 a month.
Honestly, if you want to throw $175 a month, like, we would really appreciate that. Gosh. But, you know, for $20 a month, you get the fishbowl tape, you get the, and, like, everything that I just mentioned. You, for $250 or $25 a month.
Oh, good job. You get a framed cover of the Discorder magazine and all of the above items.
Holly was like mouthing the words at me because I was stumbling. Okay, for $500 or $35 a month, you get to host a show on CITR 101.9 FM and like everything we just mentioned. And for $1,000 or $50 a month, you get a box set of all Pop Alliance compilations, you get recognition on our donor wall, and you also get everything else we mentioned.
That's a pretty sick deal right there.
Right? So yeah. Get on that. You can donate by calling 604-822-8648, or you can go to citr.ca/donate. Right. Back to the show. So, what would you say is a key factor in making the relationship work? Because you guys have been together for 6 years, which is a long time. So, you know, I mean, how do you make that happen?
I like to think that it's a fairly long time. It's taken a lot of effort. But I would say the key factor in making a relationship work, I would definitely say, is communication. Communication was one of the things that I liked most about my partner, which really cemented for me this person being my long-term relationship, my long-term partner. And it continues to be the most important part of our relationship. Usually if and when things get rocky, it's usually because I'm upset and I don't want to communicate, and that's intentional. And it really does work, because then things do usually get a bit more rocky when I choose not to. But also establishing boundaries and defining wants and needs, and being, it feels vulnerable, but being transparent to begin with. I think maybe it feels a bit foolish, and certainly, again, very, very vulnerable. But I knew that I wanted a serious relationship. I was never somebody who was going to be on, I don't know if there's a lesbian equivalent of Tinder or Grindr, but, you know, one of those great apps that you kids nowadays have.
You're like 26. You're not that old.
But I knew I wanted to be in a serious relationship, and I wanted to be transparent from the beginning and let her know, look, this is what my expectations are. And I want to know what your expectations are, because I want to know if I'm going to be able to fulfill those expectations. And not to have something too unrealistic, but be straightforward.
So, do you agree with the saying that you can't expect someone to love you when you don't love yourself? Because that's like a word of advice or a piece of advice that I get a lot, and people say it a lot.
I hear it a lot,
too. It's annoying.
It is. Actually, I have to say, I think personally it's pretty annoying, and I mean, there can be truth in it. I think if you love yourself, then 100% go your way. I'm so glad. Congratulations. That is not something I've been able to achieve. And honestly, I'm not sure if I would be able to. I don't agree with it necessarily, at least in my situation and as far as doling out advice. My partner and I met while we were both at really low points in our lives, and it's taking me years to become as comfortable with myself as I am now, and it still requires a lot of time and reassurance from my partner. I would say that you can't expect a relationship to work if you believe that your partner is completely content with themselves. We grew together, and I think that's absolutely what created what we have now. It's a work in progress, for sure. It takes a lot of growing together, I think, when you know that you don't love yourself perhaps as much as you should.
Mm-hmm. And I think having someone that you love and respect kind of tell you and affirm you and compliment you, that really helps you start believing in yourself, and that makes it easier to love yourself. Like, I don't think love necessarily is birthed in like a vacuum.
No.
So like people are just like, you should love yourself. And I'm like, but how?
How do I love myself?
Yeah, like, can you give me like a list of things to do?
If I paint my nails, will I love myself?
Yeah,
no, like, because I'll get frustrated because I spent the last half hour painting my nails intensively and I just, you know, hair got in my face and I flipped it behind my ear and I just completely ruined it despite waiting an hour for it to dry. And then I'm just fed up with myself.
Okay, so we're going to get a little personal. This is about like my personal belief on love. I believe that love makes you want to be better, which is to say right now we're going into a segment. I have a secret to tell you. I don't know if I'm in capital L love yet, but I think I might have a crush on CITR.
I knew it.
So bad. Right. So I joined CITR in early September, but I didn't actually get that involved until late October. And that was because I was in a really bad headspace. And like, you know, this story, you witnessed me. It was rough.
It was a rough time. Like, talk about.
It was a bad situation.
A wagon going down a brick and mortar road. It was bumpy.
Yeah. I was also trying to be a student and trying to just like be a person. And also like, I was like freshly an adult and trying to deal with that.
I think a lot of people realize that being an adult and being a student are two separate things that are both full time for sure. Like that's definitely something that I've had to hammer through my head more than once.
But yeah, back to asking you guys for money. So community is really important to me, and I'm glad to say that I found a space for myself here at CITR. It's really amazing to be surrounded by all of these thoughtful and talented people who actually give a shit about things, and they're all nerds, and it's honestly amazing. Like, I feel like you guys would fit in so well here too.
Oh my gosh, we walked in and our eyes nearly like rolled out of our head. It's so amazing to be here.
But yeah, so if you want to meet people, make friends, maybe fall in love, come and donate and support us and join us by throwing money at us. Call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/donate. Okay, back to you again.
The main event.
Okay, so I believe, you know, love makes you want to be better. That's kind of how I differentiate like a simple crush versus actual love. Would you say that's accurate? Do you agree with that definition?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. I am a genius.
You are.
Thanks. So have you felt that in your relationship? How have you seen that be manifested or reflected in your relationship?
Being with my partner absolutely from the beginning made me want to be a better person. It made me really sit down and reflect how I am as a person, my behavior, and how I present myself. You would not believe me if I showed you a picture of me right out of high school or right before we met. I look nothing the same.
You need to show me pics.
Oh, I will. I will have to show you the pics. I used to wear a top hat in high school. Believe it or not, I got it at Goodwill. It was such a steal.
That's amazing.
But I would say that relationships require a lot of growth. And I think that's really what establishes, or at least for me, it cemented the feeling of being in a relationship rather than just another exclusive relationship. I should find more synonyms for relationship. how I knew that I was in a committed circumstance with another person. Exclusive. I'm gonna stop. Anyways, my relationship with my partner has entirely centered around growing as adults, as people, and as a couple. Neither of us, I would say, were prepared for a relationship, but we knew what we had when we had it, and our desire to grow ourselves and each other was mutual. We eat better. We work out. We offer critiques when we know one of us could be doing better than what we were doing at the moment. And we also admit our own faults and we work together to form a solution. The last 6 years have been a struggle in a lot of respects. And it was a matter of tackling the situation together and realizing that we could be doing better and going, okay, well, I feel tired. I don't feel like doing any better than what I'm doing right now. And going, okay, well, what if I took a week to kind of have some mental health days to kind of reassess myself. Do I want to improve? do I want to improve for myself? Do I want to improve for this person? There were a lot of moments where I tackled a situation that I was struggling with the idea that I wanted to improve for my partner. I wanted to be a better partner for my partner because I couldn't muster up the strength to improve myself for me, which I think comes back to the whole self-love thing of, for myself, I've been in a really phenomenal relationship for the last 6 years, but my opinion of myself has gotten better, but I don't think I can say with a whole lot of self-confidence, I absolutely love myself. It is a development. And we have tackled it by, you know, developing a food plan, because both we need to save money as adults, as young adults, and living in Vancouver is incredibly expensive. We want a certain lifestyle. So we would sit down, we discussed our finances together and our expectations in that, and what would improve our situation. We also did a lot of talking about gym and a lot of body image. I mean, that was a huge thing for the both of us. Neither of us were particularly confident on our own body images, and a lot of us, or both of us, got a lot of crap growing up for the way that we appeared. And we knew deep down that if we didn't get better at going to the gym, and if we didn't get better at eating to improve our physical appearance, we wouldn't be content. So there was a lot of growth in that respect as well as mental, of going back to school, figuring out how to balance a job, going to school, and family, and our relationship all at once. I mean, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but on a day-to-day, when you're trying to go to Shabbat dinner on a Friday, go visit your bubby on Saturday, go hang out with your other friends, it adds up. It's a lot of time that you have to dole out.
Yeah, I actually kind of wanted to ask, because you two are in different careers, different fields, and I just wanted to ask, like, you guys are doing different things, and like, you guys are very clearly invested in each other, but I have also heard of or witnessed a lot of couples where they start growing up, and then they grow up, and then they grow apart. How do you ensure that doesn't happen with you guys? Not that I'm doubting you guys, because honestly, you guys are, like, the ideal relationship. My motto, like, I'm a huge fan. Number one stan. Honestly, if I were to bet money on a relationship, it would be yours.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, like, hypothetically.
I mean, I think that's something that, surprisingly, I haven't really thought much about. I think it's a really great question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so thoughtful. But I would say that if we ever came to a point in which we started to realize that we were growing apart, I think that would be a time to sit down and reevaluate what we want. I don't think that I ever thought of being together with somebody who's going to be in the same career field. I mean, for the last 6 years, she's been going to school to go get her bachelor's degree. I have been working full time, and I didn't have the opportunity to go back to school. And at this point, we're actually kind of doing a switch where she's actually now coming up to graduation at the end of April. And she's going to be going to the workforce for the first time, and I'm going to be going to school, which means that we're going to be on opposite schedules for a while. And this is something that we've experienced before, but if we were to find ourselves growing apart, I think the best thing that you could do is to sit down and acknowledge it and go, hey, I feel like we've been really distant. I don't want to be distant. I mean, first evaluate to yourself, do you still love this person? Do you still find that in next week you want to be with them? Next month you want to be with them? Do you see yourself with them next holiday or next summer? And if you don't, I mean, either which way, it's time to sit down with your partner and start to discuss these things.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of it all, you know, the key to success is communication.
Yes,
I think that's
yes.
what we've learned today.
Yeah,
here.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of communication. I think that's if you've got struggles in your own relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship or even with friends, I mean, communication really is key. And it's also about finding out what kind of communication channels work for your partner. When we first got into our relationship, I was very much about physical affection. That was a good way to communicate with me. But with her, her and her own family are not about PDA whatsoever. And it's kind of funny because nowadays I'm not very much about PDA either. But during the beginning, she had to adjust to that because her telling me that she loved me and that she liked me wasn't enough. I had to physically feel it. So she made that adjustment. And for a couple of years, we were very physical and very, there was a lot of public display of affection. Not like making out in public.
Yeah,
anything.
I was going to be like, gross.
No, but like, you know, holding my hand on the bus and just being willing to make that accommodation for me. Because since then, I mean, I've gotten used to it. I'm totally verbal and we leave all of our displays of affection at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are getting to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for coming in here to the studio and talking to me. Oh. So, by the way, Iz is here too.
Oh, yes,
so if
she
you want to give a shout.
She's being very handsome in the corner.
Yes.
Piece of eye candy.
Lovely person. Okay. So, anyway, thank you guys so much for coming on air. We should totally do brunch next week. Is that a yes? Is that a no?
Oh, I guess I'm going to leave you waiting. No, yes, of course. Come on.
All right. And to all my listeners, including those of you who are stuck in traffic and only accidentally tuned in.
Congratulations.
Hi, you should support your local independent radio station. We are a registered nonprofit accountable to our listeners and local community. No one tells our programmers what to play or cover, which is how I got on air, which maybe they should start telling people what to do.
Hey, don't tell me what to do.
There are very few independent stations in the region, and we run very few ads. So you're not a product sold to advertisers. So please donate to keep quality independent radios on air.
I can get behind that idea any day.
Right? So call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/donate. Anyway, this was the second episode of Love 101 titled Hustling for Love. This is Iza signing off. Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.